Hello again, you're listening to the News at One. The government has announced a programme of events to commemorate the period 1921 to 1923, part of the decade of commemoration. The key events to be remembered include the burning of the Customs House, the establishment of Northern Ireland, the ceasefire, the truce and the Anglo-Irish Treaty. Local authorities will be funded to support a series of community-led initiatives, and there's to be substantial investment in new exhibitions and artistic commissions. One of the centrepieces of the commemoration will be a ceremony in January to mark the handover of Dublin Castle to the new Irish administration. Taoiseach Micheál Martin said that the way we remember our past is vital.
Every society carries with it a complex history full of sensitive moments. But the ways in which different societies remember their history can vary radically. Free societies, societies which retain the ability to challenge themselves and to evolve, carry at their core a commitment to an open and diverse engagement with their history. They seek perspective and understanding. They are committed to working to ease the sharpness of historical conflicts, and they continually seek to question their own assumptions. But as we are unfortunately seeing in too many places throughout the world today, there are those who take a very different approach. The use of history to support intolerant nationalism and to underpin authoritarian behaviour is something which we once hoped had been left in the last century, but is clearly resurgent. It is in this context that we can see the deep importance of how our country approaches the issue of commemoration. Starting with the bicentenary of the 1798 rebellion, Ireland has chosen a path of commemoration which respects the legitimacy of both pride in our past and valuing diversity. Governments have agreed that every effort must be taken to base commemorations on an inclusive process and opportunities for dialogue. This approach has been incredibly positive because it has respected the legitimacy of expressing a broadly shared pride in key developments in our past, while also leaving space for a more complex and challenging narrative.
Taoiseach Micheál Martin speaking in the last few minutes at that event to announce details of the government's commemoration for the period 1921 to 1923. We can talk now to Dr. Marie Coleman, who is a reader in Irish history at Queen's University Belfast. A very good afternoon to you, Dr. Coleman. Thank you for talking to us this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Brian.
We're being told that various events will be organised over the next period. New exhibitions, artistic commissions, a state commemoration to mark the centenary of the truce, funding for local authorities, the release of digitised material. What do you make of the plans at this stage?
Well, I very much welcome the overall picture here, the investment in the museums and the libraries. I particularly welcome the localised focus. Up until now, there's been some very good investment, but it has largely been at, I suppose, national museum level. So I very much welcome the much more local focus. I think this will probably be the biggest investment in local archives since the centenary of local government in 1998. From the archival point of view, I welcome the digitization. The accessibility and the democratisation of archives, and indeed, as the pandemic has shown us, when archives are closed, digitisation is crucial for access. But I'd like to, I suppose, overall, I would like to see have a bit more meat on the bones of this, particularly with relation to archives. There's nothing specific there about movement on opening up large collections which have been closed for nearly a century, like the Irish Land Commission or the household returns of the 1926 Irish Free State Census, both of which collections would tell us an awful lot about the importance of our past history, which the Taoiseach just mentioned there. Yeah.
This is obviously a much more problematic, much more difficult, much more sensitive period now, which we're moving towards remembering and looking back towards partition, obviously, the creation of Northern Ireland, the treaty, the truce, the civil war. These were events which very much echo down through the decades, and the consequences of which we are still living with today.
Very much so. And this was always, from the outset of the decade of centenaries, almost a decade ago, this was always going to be the tricky period. But it has been made more tricky by the difficulty surrounding the non-commemoration of the RIC at the start of 2020. And I think you can't read this document without recognising the shadow of that over this document. I suppose being based up here in Belfast, I am conscious of how little detail there is on how the Irish state will approach the centenary of Northern Ireland. As far as I can see, I don't see the term Northern Ireland used in this document. I think partition is mentioned, but there's nothing specific about how that significant event will be reflected upon in from the southern perspective. There will be a lot of that in the next month or two here in Belfast with the centenary of the Government of Ireland Act coming into effect and the opening of the Parliament. And I'm just curious to see how the Irish government, even at state level, will respond to that. But I can't get away from thinking that this has quite a partitionist approach to commemoration in this document. Now, obviously the caveat is there that we would want to see more details, but that's my initial sense.
And it's also the case, and I think, you know, most historians would agree on this, that it's really to understand the truce, the treaty negotiations, the final agreement that emerged from that, why it happened when it did, why the British negotiated. It only makes sense in terms of partition and the creation of Northern Ireland. That was a crucial element at the period.
Very much so. And I think even there would be an East-West dimension there, the forging of new relations with the United Kingdom after the treaty as well. So I think the plans to focus on the treaty really offer a good opportunity there. The focus here seems to me very much to beyond state building and the way in which the new state emerged and effectively a new state was built up. And indeed, for going forward, one of the great achievements of Irish independence was the survival of democracy throughout that difficult period of the 20s and particularly the 1930s. And I'm sure that is something that the Irish government will want to focus its commemoration on.
And just finally, a word, Marie, about the importance of local community involvement in all of this, that communities have an opportunity to look at the experience in their locales, in their areas, to understand what was happening at the time. And that, if you like, the impetus comes from the grassroots.
Yes, and I think that's very significant, particularly given the sensitivities here. I think it's a lesson, maybe a positive lesson to be taken from the RIC debacle, is that the directive should not come from above, from government. The impetus and the agency should be given to local, to the people in local communities. And I welcome also the focus on the cultural space here as well. And there's much amazing work being done in local arts centres and things as well, groups and communities, which I'm sure will be more than willing to feed into this programme.
All right. Well, we look forward to more on this in the time ahead and perhaps to speaking to you at a future date. But for the moment, we leave it there. Dr. Marie Coleman from Queen's University, Belfast.